seed that has already been planted will be watered, and that, God, you will bring forth the increase. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, that someone who needs you might know you, and somebody who knows you might grow in you. Encourage somebody today who might be on the verge of giving up and giving in, and let them know there is hope in you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Everyone in life at one point or another faces hardships and difficulties, heaviness or weightiness in life. Sometimes life just be lifing like that. Life will take you to some hard places, take you to some places where you feel down, where you feel defeated, sometimes where you'll feel even distant from God. And when hardness and heaviness and hollowness come into our lives, many times it will affect us or hit us in one of four areas in our lives. Sometimes it'll hit you in your head in terms of your thinking. Your mind will be troubled. You can't even sleep at night because of the things that have been on your mind all day. Sometimes it'll hit you in your heart, your emotions, especially when you love more than you feel like you're being loved, or you give love to people who don't appreciate the love that you give. Your heart will be troubled. Sometimes you'll be troubled in your home because of those who are in your home or those who are affected by your home, those that you have chosen to cover spiritually in your life. And because you are covering them, their pain becomes your pain. Their hurt becomes de facto your hurt. Sometimes trouble and hardness will come in your health. You'll begin to see a breakdown in your health. You can't move like you used to move. You can't go like you used to go. You can't do what you used to do. In the 42nd division of Psalms, the psalmist gives us some insight as he articulates what it feels like when your heart is breaking, when your head is hurting, when you're going through some things in life that you'd rather avoid, but you don't seem to have a choice. And as he goes through this challenging time, as he goes through this difficult time, he is not standing on the mountain shouting for joy, but he is in the valley whispering by faith, looking to see if God can meet him at this difficult and challenging place. Now, you might be wondering, why is this important for you and for me? It's because God wants you to know that even if you're not in a pleasant place, you can still be in a powerful place. God wants you to know that even in a hard place, God is still present. So today, I want to talk to you for a few moments from the thought, how to have hope in a hard place. How to have hope in a hard place. Because God wants you to know, and the psalmist wants you to know, even if you find yourself in a hard place, you're not in a hopeless place. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? If you need an outline, raise your hand and the ushers will get one to you. For those of you who are watching wherever you are, you can go to our website, goodhope.org, and download an outline there, or you can find a fill-in-the-blank outline wherever you get your app. Just go to our church app and you'll find it there. Three things I want you to see today out of this 42nd division of Psalms. Now, this psalm, Psalm 42, was written articulating the sons of Korah as temple singers who served in worship. The psalmist is believed to be writing from the position of being far from the temple, possibly in exile or running for his life. Either way, he is feeling cut off from God. He remembers better days when he led others in worship, but now His soul feels dry and distant. He realizes and shows us that worship can be challenging at times, but it is not impossible. Because worship doesn't always take place when you are in the best of places or in the best of mindsets. God is worthy of your praise wherever you find yourself. And for somebody under the sound of my voice, I believe I'm knocking on your door. I'm ringing your doorbell because watch this. You have come in and you have gone through the motions, but you are dry and you are feeling like you are not where you should be when it comes to your worship of God. Somebody who's watching right now, the Lord has just shown me you. You're watching, but you are not where God wants you to be. You're not where you want to be, and you're not where you usually are. And so the question is, how do you have hope when you're in a hard place? Here's the first thing I want you to see. Number one, if you're going to have hope in a hard place, you must be honest about where you are. You got to be honest about where you are. Verse 5, Psalm 42 is our foundational verse. The A part says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me?" Now, verse 42 is one of the most honest passages of Scripture written. It is a very clear indication that this psalmist felt so comfortable with God that he was able to come clean with God regarding his feelings. Look at what he says in verse 1, if you have your Bibles. If not, trust my reading of the ESV translation. "As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" Verse 3. Listen to the word and watch the imagery. "My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God?" He's facing opposition. He's facing criticism. He's facing people who are coming at him. And he says, "God, this thing has gotten so bad that my tears have become my food day and night." Anybody in here ever had to cry so much that you forgot how long you've been crying? You've cried so long that you cried yourself out of tears. He says, "I've been crying so long that my food day and night have been my tears." But when he gets to verse 5, he asks a question. "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me?" See, one of the things that the psalmist wants to do is remind us that faith doesn't cancel out feelings. That somebody in here, somebody who's watching, you are questioning your faith in God because of the feelings that you have based on what you've been going through. And God says, "No, you can still have feelings." Here's what he wants you to understand. Your feelings should not dictate your faith. Your faith can give you the ability to overcome your feelings. The psalmist says, "I've been cast down," literally bowed low, depressed. He feels crushed under the weight of life's burdens. He uses the word turmoil, which speaks to a disturbance from within. He's talking about inner chaos, a heart and a spirit at war within itself. And here's what's interesting. When you have that inner turmoil, there is no geographic boundary or limitation to it because it's going on within you. So it's not limited to a specific place. Everywhere you go, you feel that turmoil within. And like David, like the psalmist, you may be struggling with depression and despair in your life right now. You may be feeling like you have burdens that are too heavy for you to handle. You're dealing with disappointment, defeat. You're dealing with dread and dejection and despondency and hopelessness, desolation and sorrow, danger and debilitating pain and suffering. And here's what God wants you to know. Before you can deal with anything, you first have to admit you're facing something. See, when you're at the end of your rope, you will be tempted to do whatever you need to do to get by. And the truth of the matter is, when we are typically at the end of our rope, our temptations to do whatever we need to do to get by don't come from God. Those temptations are designed to move us away from God. David felt that in Psalm 13, that psalm of lament. Four times in two verses, David says, how long? He asked the question, Lord, how long do I have to go through it? And he asked it four times in two verses, suggesting that however long it was taking too long. And one of the lessons that God wants us to learn out of that passage is that our timing is not his timing. Elijah felt it in 1 Kings 19. Jesus even felt it in the Garden of Gethsemane, feeling abandoned by the Father in the midst of all that he was going through. Look at Psalm 77, verse 3 and verse 4. The New Living Translation says, I think of God and I moan, overwhelmed with longing for his help. You don't let me sleep. I am too distressed even to pray. Anybody in here ever been to that point where you were so distressed that you didn't even want to pray? You were afraid to say it out loud because you thought God might strike you dead. But in your spirit, you were struggling. Listen, counselor once said, you can't fix what you won't face. You can't fix what you won't face. But here's the good news I want to give somebody today. God can handle your honesty. And see, here's the problem with too many of us. We not only want to run game on other folk and lie to other people, but too many of us run game on ourselves. Y'all, it's one thing if you're good at running game on somebody else, but God dog, you got to be bad to run game on yourself. And some of y'all have lied so long to yourselves that you're not even willing to be honest with yourself, let alone be honest with God. God can handle your honesty. And you can bring your brokenness to God. You can bring your burdens to God, because the God who can receive your brokenness and your burdens is the God who can build you up right where you are. And here's the good news. Write this down somewhere. Healing begins where honesty begins. Healing begins where honesty begins. First thing you've got to do, you must be honest about where you are. Here's the second thing. Number two, you must place your hope in God. Now, I know your outline says should. Cross out should and put must. You must place your hope in God. Listen to the verse as it reads together. Verse 5, the A and B part. Watch what it says. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Question mark, hope in God. Hope in God. Hope in God. This is not a suggestion from the psalmist. It's a command. It's a command to your soul to put your hope in God. The word hope there means to wait with confident expectation. He says you got to be active in putting your hope in God. See, when you hope in God, it is not a passive resignation. It is an active anticipation. He says hope in God. Because there are times when you can't change the place you're in. You can't change the predicament that you're in, but you need to change the posture that you have. And when you change the posture that you have, you don't focus on the predicament, you focus on the person who's with you in what you're going through. So watch the shift. The psalmist doesn't let his fear and his emotions have the last word. The psalmist shifts after the question is asked and says, hope in God. Wait with confidence on the Lord. As a child, I would wait at school at times, especially after practice, for my parents to come and pick me up. Either my mom or my dad would pick me up. And I waited at the school with confident expectation, because they never left me there and didn't get me. I knew one of them was going to come pick me up. And my brothers and sisters, God says you need to learn how to wait on him with confident expectation. Put your hope in the Lord. See, where you place your hope determines how you handle your hurt. If your hope is in people, disappointment will destroy you. How many of you know people will let you down? Matter of fact, don't raise your hand too high, because you'll let yourself down. If your hope is in possessions, the loss of possessions will devastate you. But if your hope is in God, even in a hard place, your faith can still stand. Look at Lamentations 3, verses 24 and 25. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who depend on him, to those who search for him. Psalm 56, beginning at verse 2, let's read it together. I am constantly hounded by those who slander me. Many are boldly attacking me. But when I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. But when I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. Romans 15, 13, you sounded so good. Let's read that together. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. I told you first, you must be honest about where you are. Number two, you must place your hope in God. Here's the third thing. You must plan to praise God again by faith. Watch what the text says. I'm looking at verse 5, the C part, and the A part of verse 6. Psalm 42, the ESV translation reads, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Now, I want to connect the beginning of verse 6 with the end of verse 5, because you need to understand the placing of numbers and divisions in the Holy Writ was not given by the Holy Spirit under the inspiration of God. Men put those divisions there for ease of reference as you move from letter to letter and missive to missive. Here in verse 6, the A part, we see a connection with the end of verse 5. For I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Here's basically what he says. Hope in God, your salvation, your God, and you will praise him again. Now, here's what I love about this declaration that's made at the end of verse 5 into verse 6. The praising of God is independent of the predicament you find yourself in. See, when your hope is anchored in the correct person, you can plan to praise, you can give praise, even before you see the promise come to pass. Let me put a cord in the meter and park there for somebody. For too many of us, praise is dependent upon circumstance. So we only are ready to praise God when we're in a good situation. And we don't realize the power of praise, that it can help us break through a situation we're in right now. Some of y'all still don't get it. Listen, when you learn that praise is within your power, because God is unchanging, regardless of where you find yourself, you realize at that moment you can praise him where you are to get to where you want to be.
You don't have to wait to get there in order to praise him. You can praise him where you are. Let me see if I can help somebody else in here. This side, I don't know if they got it. Let me see if I can help this side get it. See, you got to learn how to sing and praise like the song said. Don't wait for the battle to be over. Learn how to do what? Shout now. He says, he is the God of my salvation. He is my Yeshua, the Hebrew name for Jesus. He is my salvation. He is my Redeemer. And because of who he is, I can give him praise regardless of where I find myself. Look at Jonah, chapter 2, verse 7. As my life was slipping away, I remembered the Lord, and my earnest prayer went out to you in your holy temple. Those who worship false gods turn their backs on all God's mercies. But I will offer sacrifices to you with songs of praise, and I will fulfill all my vows, for my salvation comes from the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Let's read it together. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. You remember Paul and Silas locked up in that jail in Acts chapter 16? And the Bible says they sang hymns and prayed at midnight. And they sang and praised God and prayed while they were still in chains. Some of y'all missed it. They didn't wait to get out of chain to give God praise. They praised him while they were in chains. And the Bible says when they praised him while they were in chains, God started shaking things loose. Because their praise became the conduit for their freedom for what had them bound. I'm trying to help somebody in here to understand. Praise doesn't wait for your breakthrough. Praise brings the breakthrough. Your praise may not change your place immediately. But somebody needs to know your praise can change your perspective instantly. As you stop focusing on what you're going through and focusing on the people who are taking you through, and you shift your focus, if you stop telling God about how big your enemies are and start telling your enemies about how big your God is, even in your hard place, you can praise him. Praise him for what he's already done. Praise him for what he's doing right now, even if you don't understand what he's doing, and give him some anticipatory praise for what he's going to do in your future. Let me just share a couple of things with you, and then I'm going to take my seat. First thing I need you to know is that hope is not an emotion, it's an orientation. Hope is not an emotion, it's an orientation. You have to choose to face God even when life faces you down. You've got to choose to turn your attention to God and put your hope in him. Here's the second thing. Hope is rooted in God's unchanging nature. Hope is rooted in God's unchanging nature. Even if my circumstances change and my situations change, I serve a God who's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He is an unchanging God. That's why my hope is unchanging in him. Here's the last thing, and then I'm going to let you go. Hope is the seed of your praise. I said hope is the seed of your praise. See, the more you hope, the more you can praise. And the more you can praise, the more you'll be able to bear what you're going through. Praise is a reminder for those who may be suffering from some kind of spiritual dementia. when you have forgotten what God has done and you're focusing more on what you're going through than what God has done, it is praise that reminds you of who God is and what God can do. Somebody in here, you can still have hope. And that's what I want to leave you with today, even if you're in a hard place. Maybe you're in that hard place just for God to get your attention. Maybe God just wants to remind you of who he is. Because in your hard place, I want you to know God is still holy. In your hard place, God is still helping. In your hard place, God is still holding you together. When your heart is hurting, hold on to God's unchanging hand. When your days are dark, let faith light your way. When your nights are long, sing your song to the Lord. When your tears fall like rain, trust God just the same. When the weight of the world is pressing you down, look up because God is still on the throne. You may be in a hard place, but I got good news for you. God still has a holy plan for your life. He can turn your problem into purpose. He can turn your pain into praise. He can turn your tears into a testimony. He can turn your struggle into strength. Somebody, under the sound of my voice, don't give up just yet, but look up, because your help and your hope come from the same place. They come from the Lord. Yes, yes. That's why the old song said, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. Somebody needs to put their hope and their trust in the Lord, because the God who brought you this far hasn't brought you this far to leave you now. Yes, yes, keep your hand in the hand of the Lord, and God will walk by your side. Won't he do it? Have I got two or three witnesses who can testify that God will take care of you? Be not dismayed, whatever betide. God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love I will abide. God will, God will, God will. He will take care of you. Have I got one or two people who can raise your hand and say, I'm a witness, Pastor. I'm a witness that God will, even when you mess up. Come on, somebody's mess. Let me raise both of my hands. Some of y'all too sanctified to raise any. You don't want anybody to know you messed up. Before the mess up cry. Place, make sure you look to the hope that God has provided for you. Even if the place doesn't change, your perspective will change. Because God just might have a plan for what you're going through. And let's be honest, let's be truthful. Too many of us, we don't see the plan that God has for our lives until after we go through. Come on, have I got a witness in here anyway? It's not until way down the road. Listen, old folks used to sing a song and say, we'll understand it better by and by. You may not understand it now, but just hang on for by and by. And you'll be able to look back and see what God had planned for you. Somebody today needs to sing like the old folks used to sing, I need thee every hour. Sometimes we only call on them when we're in trouble. But how many of you know we need them every hour? Every hour, every day, every hour, every minute, every second. Hey! Y'all, excuse me. I'm trying to hold my peace in here. Lord, have mercy. Everybody who can, everybody who will, stand on your feet. As our psalmists sing that old hymn today, somebody, I want you to sing it as a prayer expression to God. If you know it, it's real simple. If you don't know it, you can pick it up. But come on, let's sing it together. And if you're here today, I want to extend an invitation for you to come.
I need the all. I need thee.
Yes, sir.
Every hour.
Every hour.
I need thee.
Bless you. I see you, my man. Come on, somebody else.
Oh, bless.
Come on, if you recognize today you need God in your
Be
life, come on and come. Whatever your reason, your situation, circumstance, come on and come.
I come to thee. I pray because I need thee.
Come on and come right now.
Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me right now, my Savior.
Ooh.
I come to.
Come on, somebody say yes to the Lord.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Come on, somebody tell him yesterday.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Anybody got something to thank him for? Thank you, Lord. 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 Let me see if somebody can say this. You made a way. 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 Listen, only a few folk can sing this. You saved my soul. Thank you, Lord. You saved my soul. You saved my soul. You saved my soul. Lost and on my way to hell. You saved my soul. You saved my soul. Somebody else who's here, God wants you to say yes to him today. Somebody who's watching right now, God wants you to say yes today. Whether you're online or in person, it's a mighty good time to say yes to God. Somebody needs to say yes in terms of salvation. Somebody needs to say yes in terms of sanctification. Somebody needs to say yes in terms of rededication. But you need to say yes. And can I tell you something about the devil? He's so subtle. He'll have you saying no without you even realizing you're saying no. I was watching this show, and this reporter was highlighting pickpockets in European countries. And he set out to find these pickpocketers because the area had a notorious reputation for pickpocketers. But you know, there's no place that advertises pickpockets are us. You know, you can't just. So he put a note in his pocket and was riding public transportation and made it easy to pickpocket him. And the pickpocketers got the message and they got back to him. And one of the leading pickpocketers was telling him how they pick people's pockets. And he said, I can pick your pocket right now and you wouldn't know it. And the guy said, give me an example. And so the guy was standing next to him. He was talking to him like he was on a bus on public transportation, right? And he's just rocking. He's bumping into him. And the guy's standing there literally looking in his mind, waiting to feel something. And finally, the guy stopped bumping into him. He said, here's your wallet. And he said, how'd you do that? Listen to me. That's how the devil will do with your joy. And the devil start bumping into you with some foolishness, start bumping into you with some craziness, not even your craziness, somebody else's craziness that you take on and you take ownership of, even though it's not yours. And the devil will sit there and just bump up, and before you know it, he done pickpocketed you for your joy. He done pickpocketed your faith. He has pickpocketed your hope. Somebody else today. We're just going to sing a little bit more. If you're here today, I want to give you an opportunity to say yes, upstairs or downstairs, to my left or to my right. Here's the wonderful thing about God. God loves you just like you are. Man, I mean, you messed up, you tore up from the floor up, you jacked up. God loves you just like you are. But God loves you so much, he doesn't want to leave you there. God wants to make something beautiful out of your life. Come on and come right now. Let me show you how the devil works. Yesterday, we had a storm here, right, the night before, and it knocked everything out on the campus. Knocked all the cameras out, like knocked everything out. And they came in and got it up last night. A storm came through last night and knocked everything out. And so they said to me, Pastor said, we can't get the QR code up today because that's part of the system we haven't been able to reboot and get up. We haven't had time to do that. So I can't even say to you, check the QR code. But here's what I do want to encourage you to do. If you're online, just type it in the chat. I need Jesus in my life. I need Jesus in my life. Put your email address in there, and somebody will follow up with you. I promise you, we'll follow up with you. And if you're here today, I want you to make that step. We won't look at you funny. We'll rejoice when you come, because heaven rejoices. If you're here right now and you need the Lord in your life, upstairs or downstairs, come on, grab your belongings if you're coming from upstairs. If you're coming downstairs, grab your belongings, because we're going to show you how to ask the Lord into your life in a personal and private way.
I need thee, oh, I need thee.
Maybe everything just happened to let you know how much you need God in your life. Come on and say yes today. Come on and say yes today.
I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to, Lord, I come to thee.
I pray because I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. Ooh, I come weary, wounded and sad. I come sometimes broken, sometimes battered, sometimes bruised, but I come to thee.
Extend your hands. Let's pray for family that has come. You still have a chance to come, but extend your hands. God, our Father, we come now lifting up brothers and sisters, Lord, that have come and said they're surrendering their lives to find hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, God, we lift them up to you right now, and we ask for your special blessings on them, Lord, as they can start this journey with you. Whatever they need, Lord, we pray that you meet that need according to your will. Wherever they're headed, Lord, we pray that you lead them in the way that you want them to go, and that all things work together for their good. Thank you for their decision. And Lord, we pray in the strong and mighty name of Jesus that all things will be well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Yeah, show some love. Show some love. Yeah. Powerful message today. Reminding us of the hope that we have. Yes, yes, yes. Hope in God is like an anchor for the soul. Give you something to hold on to. Yes, indeed. Well, all right, church family, it is now for us to take up the offering. So we're going to spend time now. Our deacons have baskets that raise your hand and they'll receive your blessing by check or by cash. If you prefer to go online, there are 6 ways that you can do that. It's on the screen. We want you to know that we thank you for your giving and for your faithfulness in giving and your obedience. It does make a difference for all that God has assigned our hands to do on this corner. Feeding ones that need to be fed, providing for those that need help in the time of need. And because of your gracious gifts, God allows us to do that. So we praise God for that, and we thank you, and we encourage you to keep going. All right. Raise your hand if you want to have the deacon upstairs and downstairs. All right, brother deacons, let's have a word of prayer. All right, God, we come now thanking you for these gifts that are given, Lord, and we pray that they be used to help your people, Lord, and to edify your people. But most of all, you get all of the glory and all of the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, church family, we want to take time now to recognize our guest. So if you're visiting today with us for the very first time, would you please stand? If this is your very first visit with the Good Hope Church upstairs and downstairs, would you please stand? Amen. Remain standing. If someone came with you, if they invited you, rather, they need to stand. Amen. Come on. Amen. Show some love. Well, we're so glad that you came this way today. And we hope and pray that you have been blessed by the word, by the fellowship, by the singing. And because you're here today, we want to make sure you come back another time. We got a special reception for you. And I'm going to ask that you gather your things and you follow the signs here of our guest relations ministry. They're going to take you to the area for the reception. We have a special gift for you. And we're going to share a little bit more about the Good Hope Church. Show some love. And if you invited them and they came, you can go with them. Amen. All right. Yeah, there they go. That's my guess. I'm going. That's right. Go. Be with them. Amen. All right, church family. That's a powerful word from the senior pastor today. Thank God for that word today to encourage us this week. I want to make sure you go show him some love when we have the benediction. Encourage him in his spirit and his heart. All right? All right, if everybody's good, let's stand and receive the benediction. God, we come now thanking you for the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. In our hard places, Lord, in our tough places, and when things ain't looking good, Lord, we still have hope. And we thank you for that assurance that you've given us in your word. Lord, I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice, Lord, that you bless them this week when they rise up early and settle late. Bless them, Lord, when they go out and when they come in. Bless them in their labor and in their leisure until we all come together again to the house of prayer. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Show some love on your way out and remind them God is doing something awesome in you.
Something wonderful in me. God is doing something wonderful in me. Something awesome and incredible. He will get the glory. God is doing something wonderful, incredible and awesome. God is doing something wonderful in me.
As you leave this place this afternoon, encourage